Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 37 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony,
and I am Lou. Welcome back for another week, another installment. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you're a goofball.
Okay, thanks. Am I at least a lovable goofball?
I'll ask your wife next time I see her.
All right, cool. Don't forget, as always, you can visit us on Facebook, go to our page there and become a fan, and on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you leave us a rating and or a review, we will be super happy. And then when you send us email at podcast@pause.com, we'll tell you how much we love you for that. So there you go. We're going to get right into it. What have you been playing video game-wise?
Wow, we're getting right into it.
Well, is there anything else that you have to add to the intro?
Yeah, let's give a shout-out to David.
Okay.
And, maybe we should mention David's last name.
Probably not
but,
a good
name. But David reached out to us on Facebook and let us know what a fan he was. And we like that.
Actually, didn't he say he was a fan of yours and that I didn't know what I was talking about?
Well, he wanted to be a friend of mine on Facebook, my personal Facebook page. So I directed him toward our fan page.
Right.
And now he's a fan.
But he said I was full of it, kind of, didn't he?
Well, he didn't agree with you on the Survivor thing.
Oh, that Survivor sucks, you mean?
yeah, that you said without ever watching it.
Hey, no, I've seen it. Okay. I just hated it.
You know, I have to say, well... Yeah, let me just mention this. This season of Survivor, there's a guy on there, and I'm sure that's the reason they cast him, who is like the ultimate Survivor villain. He's like lied to everyone. He's a millionaire to begin with.
Do you think he's a plant?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But regardless, I mean, he's great TV.
Yeah.
And he's already a millionaire, so like he doesn't even need the money.
Right.
But he's told everyone that he was like, you know, his whole life was destroyed, Katrina. And then he says to the camera, he's like, I've never even lived in New Orleans. So
that's really rude.
So far, the two people that have been like voted off were because of him. So
it's kind of exciting. At least he used Katrina and not something ridiculous like Pompeii, because then nobody would have believed him in the first place.
Right.
I'm just saying. All right. So let's get back to video games. What have you been playing?
Well, first of all, you know, we were discussing last week about why we think Wolfenstein didn't sell. And part of the reason being that there was no demo.
Right.
And then I noticed that there is a demo on
really?
Both 360 and PS3. I don't know how long it's been up. So maybe it's just
maybe
been
just
put up
out.
Since we've spoken.
Yeah.
But I know it wasn't up when the game was released, because I think I would have remembered that.
Yeah.
But I actually played the demo. I played through the whole demo.
Yeah.
Which is probably like, you know, half of a level or something.
Okay.
And I liked it.
Really?
I did. Yeah.
So I wonder.
No, the negative reviews, they just say it doesn't seem like a next gen, you know.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem like it lives up to what other companies are already producing and putting out there. But it was still enjoyable. I mean, I would compare the graphics to like, especially like the people and stuff, to maybe like Half-Life. We keep going back to Half-Life 2. But I'm saying... They're not bad. They're just, you know.
They're not super. They're not like the Batman graphics.
Right.
But
exactly.
They're still decent.
They were decent. And I have to say, the gameplay was kind of fun. Like the gun handling, I thought, was good.
Yeah.
And
I have to say, to me, that's much more important than the level of detail.
Right. I agree.
The game has to be smooth and fun, and it has to seem like there's an element of polish to it that separates it from, you know, the majority of games that come out.
Right. I have to say, handling was really good. Now, one of the criticisms I saw in the review was that they've gone too far this time with the supernatural thing. And even in the demo, you can see that.
Because
all of a sudden there's like this force going on and you're floating and you have this like gun, this part, I don't know, this gun that has
some kind of supernatural
powers.
And
then you have these special powers already. I don't know at what part of the game this level is.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's near the beginning. But
yeah, like a zappy ray.
Pardon me?
Like a zappy ray?
Sure.
Like a dragon breath?
Yeah, no,
what do you
actually
got?
It is like a zappy ray. But I enjoyed it. And I don't know that I would go out and spend $60 on the game.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good game.
Well, now I'm
going
to have to check
rent.
And see if there's a PC demo, because I would like to at least, you know, play through the demo and see what it's like. And then is that it? What else?
I do have an iPhone game.
Okay.
That's actually been getting a lot. And you know what? Let me...
Oh, Tony has not done his homework.
Tony has not done his homework.
All right. Well, you're looking that up. I'll talk about, I played more World of Warcraft.
Oh, really?
I'm now level 60, which is, you know.
Is that the highest you can go?
No, you can go up to 80.
So what are you waiting for?
Thanks. From what I hear, it's really difficult to level from 60 to 80 because, you know, every level you have to have a lot, you know, that much more experience to get to the next level. So I just hear that it takes just forever. The one guy in the guild that I'm in who just got to, I want to say he just got to level 78. He said it's taken him a year to get to that point. So
from zero or from 60?
You know what? I didn't ask him. Hopefully from zero. But it's only taken me like 2 months to get from zero to 60.
Right.
So I hope it doesn't take 10 months to get another 18 levels. But anyway, the other thing that I played, and then you can go back to talking about your iPhone game, is I played a little bit of Bubble Bobble Neo on the 360, which is one of the Xbox Live Arcade games. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like basically a new version of Bubble Bobble, which was a fantastic arcade game. We played a lot of that.
We did play a lot of that.
When the arcades were still around. And, you know, the graphics are updated. It's not super fancy. It almost looks like a cartoon. Uh-huh. You know, it's like almost got a sort of animated, you know.
But what I like about it, because I also downloaded the trial. What I liked about it, it stayed closer to the original than veering so far. Some of those games that they re-release,
they go crazy.
They go like Centipede. They I mean, you still could have played the classic version, but
yeah.
But it just, they went too far with the updating it. Where this still, I think, holds the core classic look to it.
Right. I found it to be a little bit difficult with the Xbox 360 controller. And you said this a minute ago when we were talking about this before we started recording, but the buttons are backwards.
Yeah.
Like they have the bottom button as the bubble button,
A button.
And then the next button, the right button, they have as the jump button. It should be the other way around.
Should always be the jump button.
Exactly. A should always be jump. I don't know what they were thinking.
I don't either.
But and then, you know, in the original, one of the things that was a little quirky about the original was, you know, it's a platform game. And you can jump up through the platforms over you to land on them.
Right.
And the amount above the platform that you go up before you come back down to land on them is like really small. It's like you just barely jump up enough to get onto the platform.
Right.
In the Xbox version, it's even smaller. And it made it that much harder because it seems like the playfield area, I know it's identical to the original, but it feels a little smaller.
Right.
And it made it that much harder to play, but it's still pretty cool. And then, you know, another thing that I played a demo of was they have an R-Type demo.
Uh-huh.
Did you play that?
No.
What's really cool about that is they have like cool, fancy, updated 3D graphics, but you can just hit a button on the controller, and when you hit it, it just fades into the old original graphics.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can hit it and fade back, which is really
neat.
That
is cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And that's a fun game. That's a really tough side-scrolling shooter.
Right.
I never really got that far in that game in the arcades, and I got even less far in the 360 version. But anyway, so what was your iPhone game?
My iPhone game is called Square Ball, and it's kind of like a Pong Breakout type game in that it's a bouncing ball. First of all, the graphics are, it's like 2600 graphics. I mean, it's just like,
oh, really
the
bad.
Ball is actually
like a square.
A square.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is
hence
moving,
the name.
Right. You're moving actually. You're not moving the ball. You're moving the whole
play field.
And what you want to do is get all the way to the end and knock out all the green bricks.
Okay.
What's great about it is, first of all, it's hard.
Yeah.
So you want to hit, there's parts as you're scrolling the play field, there's parts of it where the ball can either go up off or down off the play field, and then you die that
way. And then
way.
You lose, yeah.
So you want to make it so it always hits a wall, and you want to make sure that you hit all the green bricks. There are other bricks, too, that you can hit that get you more points, but the green is what you need to finish.
Right.
So it's very simplistic in design.
Yeah.
The music's kind of cool because it has a little of that old synth, like the 8-bit,
right,
you know,
right.
Beep, boop, beep.
Yeah.
But yet they add kind of like a house music thing on top of it.
Oh, that's
kind of
cool.
So, I mean, that part of it is updated.
It's a remix.
Yeah.
It's an 8-bit remix.
But it's so much fun and so addictive.
Wow, that's wild.
But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's $1.99.
Ooh, a little rich for my blood.
I know. Isn't that? Well, you know, I'm happy that we're at that point with the iPhone games that you know,
yeah, that seems
expensive. Because
yeah.
When the iPhone games first came out, they were like, you know, EA was releasing it for like $10 a piece.
Right, right.
And but a lot of fun, a lot of fun. It gets hard kind of quickly, but, you know, you kind of get... If you keep playing it.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty cool.
But it is a lot of fun.
Okay, so in other video game news, the beta signups for Star Wars The Old Republic began yesterday, and the response was so overwhelming that they had to take down the site and revamp it within just a few hours of when it went live.
Did you get in?
I did not. By the time I saw the story, which was probably within an hour of it going live, they had already taken it down.
Wow.
So I sent them a request, you know, as the editor of pause.com to get a beta key. So we'll see what happens. Because I would love to see what that looks like.
Right.
But anyway, there are some Xbox 360 holiday bundles. The Elite bundle includes the 360 Elite, Lego Batman, and Pure for $299, and that is available now. And then the Xbox Wireless Controller Game Pack includes a wireless black controller, Geometry Wars, Lumines,
I think.
Bomberman Live and Ms. Pac-Man, and that's $60, which seems a little expensive considering the controllers are normally $35.
Means you're paying are they? I think they're more expensive than that.
I think they're like
the wireless ones.
Aren't they like $35?
Let me look.
Look it up.
I think they're more expensive than that.
Okay. While you're looking that up, Amazon now has the Wii listed for just $200. So the Wii is now $200, which is pretty cheap for the Wii. Ars Technica said that Halo 3 ODST sucks. Well, they didn't really say it sucks. They just said that it was really disappointing that they, you know, the guy who wrote the article got together with a friend and they popped it in and they were...
Who said this?
Ars Technica, okay. That website. They were finished in under 4 hours with the entire game.
Wow.
Which seems, for that kind of game, seems kind of right. Short. So what did you find out price-wise?
List price is $49.99.
Well, I don't care about the list price. What does it actually sell for?
Well, you can get it on Amazon for
$38. Oh, okay. Well, still, that seems expensive for those games. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway. Do you have anything else about video games?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about television. TV, the boob tube. You know, they need to come up with a new name for it because there's no tube anymore.
Right.
The boob panel? That doesn't sound good.
Wow.
The boob plasma? That doesn't sound good. That sounds almost like a disease element, if you ask me. They need to come up with something new. Somebody get to work on that. In a minute, we'll talk about all the things that we both watch. But
let's start with the things we both watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay. The Office. What? Somebody's trying to call Tony or text him or something.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, let's start with The Office.
Okay.
So what did you think of it? The second episode.
I liked it.
Now, this was the one where, what's his name? David Wallace is in town and he wants to promote Michael to like regional supervisor.
Right.
And he's going to make Jim the office manager.
Right.
And Michael doesn't like that because obviously, you know, in his crazy world, this is like his home and his family, and he doesn't, you know, what?
No, I don't think that's how it went down. I think it went down where when David brought it up to him, he said that he wanted to promote Jim to branch manager, but didn't say what was going to happen to Michael. So I think Michael
was
worried.
So then Michael started sabotaging him immediately.
Right. I think he was worried that Jim was going to get his job.
And then he found out.
Not realizing that he would get a promotion
as well. A better job, yeah. And so then he starts to backpedal, but he said all this like really nasty stuff in the meantime.
And he pulled out his file where, you know, Toby had given him some evaluation where it said that he did too
was
much
bad.
Goofing around the office.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And so then, you know, he starts to backpedal and then he tries to fix the whole thing. And it's a big tense mess between Michael and Jim. And then meanwhile, Pam was going around trying to find out who was coming to their wedding. And they planned
their
wedding.
Which was actually the funnier part of the program.
It was a lot funnier. Because they planned their wedding in Niagara Falls thinking that nobody would show up. And now it seems like everyone from the office is going to be there anyway.
Which, by the way, the wedding episode is airing not tomorrow, but next week on the 8th.
Okay. But is there a new episode tomorrow?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
But it was pretty funny. And then in the end, one of the best parts, though, was at the very end of the episode when David reveals that what he's going to do is instead have Michael and Jim be co-managers. And Dwight is just absolutely
pissed.
Crushed
yeah.
And pissed. Yeah, that was really kind of funny.
And that'll carry on. I'm sure that'll
probably carry on all season.
Right.
Yeah.
And lead to some funny stuff.
I just hope this isn't one of those storylines that gets undone in like three episodes and Jim goes back to being just sales. Because that would kind of suck, don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happen. So I also thought it was funny when Kelly said to Pam, oh my God, I'm so jealous of your boobs, even though she's only like 3 weeks pregnant and she looks exactly the same. That was pretty funny. Okay, so there was that. Then Community.
I want to say one other thing. I like, you know, my favorite character is Meredith.
Yeah.
And so I love when she's talking to Meredith and Meredith is like, oh, just I'm coming. And she's like, well, can you send in the card? No, I'm coming. And she goes, but you've got to pick your meal out. Just pick me the most expensive thing unless it's ribs.
Okay, funny. So then Community, I thought the one part, did you watch the whole thing or not?
Yes.
Did you go back and watch?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't you think the part with the Spanish teacher was funny?
I thought the Spanish teacher was funny, but I think I'm out.
Really? You're
yeah.
done?
Yeah. And I mean, because we're going to talk about some other new stuff that we watched.
Right.
And just time-wise, like my my DVR, you know, is still...
You got to have priorities.
It's mad at me. It's mad at me because
it's
I don't
smoking.
Have time.
It started smoking, hasn't
it? Really
it? It's taken up smoking.
And I just, some of these other new things that we've watched
are
funnier to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get back to what I was saying about Community last week in that I think it's written very well and I think it's very witty and sharp. But I just, the delivery for me kills it because
it's too rapid fire.
It's too rapid fire, and it's everyone's speaking their lines as if they're telling the punchline of a joke.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
There's no sincerity. Well, I shouldn't say sincerity. There's no realism, really, to the way they speak. No one speaks that way.
Right.
And it really, I mean, the way they're talking, it almost doesn't seem like a conversation.
Right. It could only be something that's scripted.
Right.
Yeah.
And for that, it's hard for me to lend myself to those characters.
I in addition to the part with the Spanish teacher, which I thought was very funny, I also thought when Joel's character turns around and decides that he's going to do the thing with Chevy Chase's character, I thought that was really funny too. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I have to say, Chevy Chase is the one person on that show who doesn't do his lines like that.
Right. Right.
Which is so weird because I thought he was going to be the thing I didn't like in that show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, before the show aired.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll probably give it like one more chance.
Yeah.
But I don't see them changing that.
Okay. Okay, so Flash Forward premiered last week.
Uh-huh.
The new drama on ABC. What did you think?
I liked it. I liked
I thought it
a
was
lot.
Cool.
It didn't have, and you said this before off air, it didn't have quite the impact like the premiere to Lost did.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because we've already seen the premiere to Lost.
And how it plays out.
Well, just, you know, we're a little more, what's the word?
Oh, you mean because, right, sure. Yeah. We've already been surprised once.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that the main crux of Flash Forward is something that was absolutely no secret going into it.
Right.
I mean, you knew what the story was, and that's... And you see that happen.
But you knew that about Lost, too, before you saw it.
You know, I didn't really know that much
Come
about
Lost. Come on. You knew there was going to be a plane crash.
Yeah.
Well.
But you didn't know anything else. The plane
it.
Crash wasn't the part of the premiere of Lost that was great. It was all the mysterious stuff that happened after that.
True.
Whereas to me, with this, there wasn't a whole lot of mysterious stuff until the end of the episode. Or the pilot, I should say, that was really mysterious. It was that one central thing, which we already knew going into it. But then at the end, there was this great hook where one of the agents is looking through all these different like closed circuit TV, you know, feeds from all these different places all over the city. And she finds a feed at the baseball stadium where, right? It was a baseball stadium
in Detroit
where, you know, at the moment where everybody drops and loses consciousness, there's one guy just like walking around who didn't lose consciousness. So now he's like suspect zero in their eyes because obviously if he wasn't affected, he probably had something to do with it. And then there was some other kind of interesting stuff like the main guy's wife, who's Penny on Lost.
Right.
She saves this little kid and who was hurt during this whole thing and because she's a doctor. And when he first gets wheeled into the hospital, she says, you know, you're going to be okay. And he says, I know I am. And then says her name. And she's like, how do you know my name? Well, you figure out later that the reason he knows her name is because
she ends up with his father.
She ends up being with his father.
Right.
And she's probably driven away by her husband, who is played by Joe Fiennes, who's like the main guy because he probably starts drinking again.
Right.
I thought John Cho overacted a little bit.
Yeah.
I was a little bugged by that. Like he was so harsh on the suspect that they were chasing,
right?
That it was a little overacting.
I agree.
And in fact, it was so much so that I almost thought it was on purpose because I thought we were going to find out that he had something to do with those suspects. And they kind of made it.
Well, they never really said he kind of hit it what he saw.
Right. And like that's one of the reasons I thought that. But then you find out later that the reason he was hiding it is because he didn't see anything. Meaning that he figures he's dead by the time that date comes around.
Oh, you know what? I didn't
catch
still,
that?
I still thought he was lying.
Oh, they actually had a whole conversation about that.
Oh, well, you know.
Were we making dinner or something?
Jeez. You know, sometimes I stream in and out of consciousness.
Apparently. Wow. But yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to see where it goes. I just hope that there's a lot of other stuff that comes up.
Right. Because well, that's the thing. I mean, they only see 6 months into the future.
Right.
So, I mean, they're either going to do it like they do Lost, because so far Lost is only supposed to be, even though it's been on for like, what, 5-6 years?
It's still 3.5 years, right?
Okay, but it still only takes, place over what, like 40 days or 60 days?
No, I said it's been 3.5 years. The time frame on the show is 3.5 years so far, isn't it?
Right. Well, you never really know because you don't really know what the present is.
Well, but from the standpoint that weren't they in back off the island for 3 years before they went back?
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that would be the present.
So it's three and a half. It's about a 3.5 year time.
You know, once
span.
They started jumping to the future.
Yeah, it got then, a little confusing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, up until that point, it had
like
only...
the first three episodes was only supposed to be like 30 days or something.
Yeah, first three seasons, I mean.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a very condensed time frame.
So I don't know if they're going to do that with this.
Yeah, or... but you know, it's like I have to wonder how this is going to go on for more than a season.
Right.
You know, what are they going to do?
Well, but, something else can happen.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay, so then are you caught up on Top Chef?
Yes.
Okay, so last week was the deconstruction episode.
Yes.
And it was kind of interesting.
Well, it wasn't interesting.
Really?
I didn't think it was interesting.
I thought it was kind of interesting.
The guy who I got kicked off, what's his name?
Ron?
Yeah, Ron.
Okay.
He didn't deconstruct anything. He made...
That's why he got kicked off. Just like when they did that challenge that was about their vices, and he did something that had nothing to do with a vice.
Right.
You know, like English really is not understands. The guy's first language. I mean, you can't really...
Or a third.
Maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, and then did you like the little fight between the judges about the pronunciation of paella or paella? Do you like Toby or do you not like him?
I do not like him.
Okay. No. It seems like most people don't like him.
I
don't mind him. I think the one thing, if there's anything that bugs me about him, it's that a lot of the jokes that he tries to make, it seems like he's trying to be the funny, sarcastic British Simon Cowell guy.
Right.
And he's not as funny as Simon. So that, you know, his jokes generally fall a little flat. But I don't mind him. I mean, you know, the British have a much different sense of quality than we do. I think they have a lot higher standards for...
Right, but I don't know his background enough to know just how, you know...
Right.
For him to be that condescending, does he really have the, well, the but resume? Part,
don't you sort of have to chalk so. That up at least partly to him trying
British?
To be that... Yeah, and the British sense of humor and how it's that much more dry.
Not
than,
if he's not qualified to be that condescending.
Well, but you're talking about two different things. You're talking about his critique and his presentation of that critique. And his, you know, which is entwined with his sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think
is he qualified
boils down
to critique?
To a lack of respect in some of his critique.
Yeah. No, I definitely see what you're saying. But I don't know if
what's his full name?
Toby, the British guy, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember his last name. I'm sorry. Now, the guest judge, though, not him, but the guest judge, the woman, wasn't she the same?
She looks familiar.
Wasn't she the same woman who was on last year with Liam Neeson's wife, who has
right.
since died?
She
and
was.
Wasn't she a total B-I-Yah last year?
Yeah, I vaguely remember her being the
one. Oh, I did not like her. And she was a little snippy this time, too. Plus, she reminds me of Sandra Bernhard.
So Toby Young is
Toby
a British,
Young. There you
British
go.
Journalist who wrote the popular book How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. So there you go.
There you go. He's an expert on
he's
what
he's certainly showing.
Hey, he's sticking to what
how
he knows.
Do just that. Yeah.
He's sticking to what he knows. Okay, so then are you watching Chopped?
I'm not caught up.
Okay. Oh, I don't understand what they're doing with the whole Chopped Champions because they've had these, you know, all these people come back who had already won previously.
Right.
And then they compete against each other. And sometimes one of them will then win two in a row. So I don't really get where they're going with it.
Right. I just went on the Food Network website, which let me say is as bad as the Bravo website.
Ooh, that's bad.
And
but it can't
it
be
bad.
As bad because there's no Andy Cohen.
But there's Ted Allen.
Oh, God. And his big, huge head.
But
have you ever noticed how big that guy's head is compared to his body?
Yeah.
It's disconcertingly huge.
He's a bobblehead.
He is. He's a human bobblehead.
He really is. But what I think has happened, and I could be wrong, is that the last 4 weeks have been, the last four episodes, have been previous winners who have battled, and then the winner of each of those are going to battle to be the ultimate CHOP champion.
Right. So here's what I don't get about that. Sometimes the same person won 2 weeks in a row. So
maybe you're watching the same episode twice.
No, I'm not watching the same episode twice. Dude. Because they come back until they lose.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that's how it's been played out.
Oh, then I don't
know. So I don't get how that's going to work then.
I don't get it.
So what was the last one you saw? Well, obviously you haven't seen any of them.
Did you see the first one? Yeah, I saw the first
one. Okay, so you haven't seen any with the super annoying Cody Utzman.
No.
Oh, he's horrible. He lost finally last night. I mean, not finally. He only won, two of them.
Right.
Wait, did he win two of them? I can't remember. But anyway, he lost. You know, last
so
night
is
was
it like Jeopardy where they keep bringing the champion back?
Okay, so the first CHOP Champions episode, they brought back four previous winners.
Okay.
Whoever won that one came back to the next episode. So it was three previous winners and that person. And if they won again,
Jeopardy.
I guess. So if they won again, they kept going. But nobody's won more than two of these.
Okay.
One person won once, then one person won twice. Then this Cody Utzman guy won twice.
Right.
And now last night, somebody else won.
Okay.
And so I don't know what's happening now.
I have no idea.
So maybe it's going to be those four people. Maybe the first person who won the first time, the person who won twice after that, Cody Utzman, and the guy who won last night. Maybe those four will now compete to see who is the ultimate CHOP champion.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
But anyway. But last night was kind of a weird episode because the first two people to go, and I'm not ruining this for you, right?
No.
Okay. The first two people to go, which were Cody Utzman and then this woman, I don't remember her name. The reason they both were chopped was because each of them forgot an ingredient. And what was really annoying was the judges were talking about, well, was their dish really good enough that we could have them stay despite forgetting an ingredient? That should be an automatic you're out of here.
Right. Because that's the
because
whole
that's
premise the of
rule.
The show.
That's the
right.
whole show. They have to use the mystery ingredients. So I was really glad that he lost and that it was because he didn't forget. He didn't have time. He was like too crazy with what he was making and he didn't have time to put it on. The woman who was chopped second, she actually forgot. She was so proud of herself. She's like, oh, I love all these ingredients. This is going to be I'm so confident about this. And she plated her dish and she has this big smile on her face and she looks down and she sees this melon on her table and she's like, oh, and she just like dropped to the ground and almost started crying. It was so funny. I mean, what was funny about it was that it happened right after somebody else did the same thing, basically. And they were all like, kind of like, ha, you lost because you forgot something, dummy. And then she does exactly the same thing. So I guess we'll find out next week what the dealio is.
Right.
Okay, so then let's talk about Heroes, which had its premiere last week and then a new episode a couple days ago.
Which you have not seen.
Which I have not seen. So don't give away anything from that. Now, you didn't like the season premiere that much.
I didn't hate it, but
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I don't know why you don't like Hero.
I don't like Hero.
Why?
It's too goofy. He's too goofy.
But don't you think that adds some levity to the...
No, I think it takes away.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
I like it. I am happy that we haven't seen any Mohinder.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know, but... We probably shouldn't talk about it because we'll jinx it.
Okay, now I'm very confused about something. I could swear that somebody killed Danko at the end of the last season.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I swear I thought that like Siler pushed him out a window or chopped open his head or whatever. You know, his finger slicer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did something. I thought Danko died at the end of last season. I'm very confused by that. But he's back. Well, sort of, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find it.
I mean, if you've seen the pilot, he dies in the pilot. I mean, the premiere.
Right.
But then you got to ask, is he really actually dead?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I did see the most recent episode, and I have to say I liked it.
Yeah?
So it upswing? May still have me for a little while.
A few more?
Yeah. Because the thing I really like, and I'm not giving anything away because it happened in the first episode too, I like what they're doing. You know, I don't like Matt Parkman's character at all. I think he's wishy-washy and kind of wimpy.
Yeah.
And But the whole Siler in his head thing, I really like. And it really, they really take it to the next level on the second episode. And
yeah,
it's great.
Oh, cool.
So
I don't get how Claire is consistently so stupid. I mean,
she's a kid.
I mean, come on. She jumps out of her window in the middle of a crowded college campus. And she didn't think that maybe somebody, including the creepy girl who mysteriously befriended her for no apparent reason, would see that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. That girl gives me the creeps. I don't like her. But her roommate was even creepier, actually.
Yeah.
No. I mean, not that I'm glad she's dead, you know, but even though it's character.
But it's TV.
But it's TV, so, you know, so good riddance.
Yeah.
Good riddance, I'm just saying. All right, and then we need to talk about Modern Family, which is a new comedy that I thought was really, really funny.
Yes, it was really good.
I was so surprised that it was as funny as it was. It's the story, it opens up following three different families. One is a couple with two, like one preteen and one teenager.
Right.
And then another is a gay couple who's just adopted a girl from China. And then the third is an older guy who's played by, what's his name?
Ed O'Neill.
And his wife, who's a younger Latina woman played by...
I'm sorry, it's three kids.
It is three kids. Yeah. And then Ed O'Neill's wife is played by Sofia Vergara, and they have a kid who's her son from a previous marriage, or maybe she just had a son, whatever.
Right.
And what was really cool is at the end of the pilot, you find out that they're all the same family, that the wife of the first family and one of the gay guys and are the kids of Ed O'Neill, right?
Right.
Right? It's the wife, Julie Bowen's character.
Right.
Yeah. And all three families have some really funny stuff going on. And I thought it was very smartly written. I mean, there were some dumb jokes, but they actually worked really well. Like the gay couple is like kind of, they're a little bit like jumpy in that they're ready to like jump down anyone's throat who gives them a hassle over being gay and adopting a girl. So they're on the plane when we first see them on the way back from adopting this girl in China. And this one couple walks by and she points down to them. And we just see her with her husband really pointing down. And she points down to them. And she says, "Oh, look at that cute little baby with the cream puffs." And then the brother who's gay like goes off on this tirade telling everyone that they're close-minded and, you know, how dare they and da-da-da. And his partner, the other gay guy, he like kind of pulls at his sleeve and he's like, hey, she's got the cream puffs. Because the baby actually had some cream puffs.
Right.
So that was like kind of a stupid joke. But I think in that context, it really worked. But then there was a lot of other really funny stuff. Like the first family, their son shot the one of his siblings with an air pistol.
Right.
And so the husband and wife had made a deal that if they were going to give the kid the gun, if he shot anyone, that his punishment would be that the dad would shoot him back. So they were talking about when he was going to shoot him, and they're so busy with all this stuff going on that they actually had to put it on their schedule. And so finally it's like, well, I guess I could shoot him at 4:15. And then that whole thing like kind of, you know, was in a downward spiral, but you're not really adding anything to this conversation.
Well, you're talking. I don't want to interrupt.
Well, say something.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's the whole show right there?
I enjoyed it. And the kid was from, the adopted child was from Vietnam, not China.
Oh, whatever. Isn't
well,
it the same thing?
Accurate.
It's the same thing. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I apologize to our Vietnamese listeners.
Listener. I think we only have the one. And Ed O'Neill's family was funny too, because I mean there's such a huge age difference.
Right.
In fact, in the beginning, this guy is like hitting on Sofia Vergara's character, and he's like, "Oh, is that your dad?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's very funny, pal." You know, because it's actually your husband.
Right.
And her son is like super emotional. He's like what, 12 or something like that, and he's super emotional, and he keeps like writing poetry and songs and stuff. It's a really funny show.
Yeah, and it was a good setup. I mean, it was good. Certainly got a feel for the characters all just in that half hour.
Yeah,
that
Yeah,
it was good.
My only gripe with it, and I mentioned this to you the other day, is that I felt like the husband in the family with the kids, that his character is a little too Michael Scott-ish.
Yeah, you know what? I see your point. I didn't notice it while I was watching it.
Yeah.
But I certainly see your point. They're
it seems like they kind of modeled it after him, and I
we'll
just...
We'll see how they flesh
yeah,
him out.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to be a little less that all the time,
right?
I think, if he's not going to be totally annoying.
But I do like the whole him trying to be cool and be buddies with his kids. And
we have to repeat this one great line. He's talking to the camera at one point, and I can't quite figure out what the premise is, because there are these cutaway scenes where they're talking to the camera,
right?
And then there are other moments where there's just other stuff going on, like
I
you would see.
I think it's
on
kind of a nod to When Harry Met Sally.
I could see that, but there are specific scenes when during the narrative portion of it, somebody will just like look at the camera and make a face.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Which never happened when Harry met Sally.
No, but.
But anyway, there was this one great part where he's talking about how he's the cool dad, and that's like his thing. He's like, you know, I text, I am. And he's like, LOL, laugh out loud. OMG, oh my God. WTF, why the face? Which was a great joke, but anyway. And so that's it for all the stuff that I think we both saw. What else? You watched Cougar Town?
I did watch Cougar Town.
And?
Just so I could talk about it. And I was pleasantly surprised. It's actually very funny. It's smartly written. It's definitely a mix. I mean, obviously a mix of Sex and the City and The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, you and I are not in their demographic.
I'm glad that they picked two such iconic television programs.
Wow, those are big television programs for women.
Old Christine? That's iconic?
It's doing well. Still
really?
In here.
Okay.
I'm just saying the whole premise is very similar
I understand.
To that.
I understand, yeah.
And it was actually very funny. And Courtney Cox, I was really worried that she was just going to, you know, it's
be
just
like
going to be
Monica.
Like Monica.
Yeah.
And there's a little of that, but not, remember how Monica got so ridiculous by the end of that series that she was annoying?
She's I think pretty much when they did the episode where her and Ross went to their reunion and did that dance that they did as kids, that was the beginning of the end for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it was just like, okay, where did these two buffoons come from?
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway.
But it's very well cast. The boy who plays her son is very funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, because a lot of times when they have the, like, child role.
Snarky kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. But this one is well cast. My only complaint about it, it's edited kind of weird, and they keep putting this music in there that like
mean
No, that's Seinfeld.
Oh,
no, but
sorry.
You know what? It's not that far from that, actually, sadly. Yeah, they do this kind of thing where they'll just like after a joke or
hey, it's kinda like in our show where we have a musical interlude.
Yeah, but it's not peppered in there constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, in the show it is,
right.
Not in our
podcast. Yeah, in our podcast, yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it. They just do this thing with music that's annoying.
Huh.
So that's
almost
how
like
it.
Almost like a little music track instead of a laugh track, like to just break up a scene.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really weird.
It is, and it detracts. So I hope they realize that.
And get rid of it.
Get rid of it, because it actually was a really funny show. And like I said, even though I wasn't part of their demographic, I can appreciate that it was smartly written. And,
yeah.
And I laughed out loud many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to record it so that we could watch it, and Amy told me not to because she hates Courtney Cox. So I guess we won't be seeing that unless I watch it online or something.
We'll try to, just so, you know, you can see what I'm talking about.
We also saw the season finale of Warehouse 13, which was the culmination of the storyline that they've been running about this guy McPherson who used to work for the warehouse. And it was actually a pretty good season finale. A lot of stuff happened, and it turns out that there was a traitor in their midst. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
It's not going to be interesting.
It will be.
It will.
And at the end, it almost seemed like Artie is dead, but I think they made it pretty obvious at the beginning of the episode how he is not actually dead. Because I can't imagine that they killed him off.
Which one's Artie?
Artie is Saul Rubinek.
Okay.
So I doubt they killed him. But anyway, so that's over for the season. Now, I did not yet see the season premiere of Dollhouse, so I don't know anything about that.
Oh, that started already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What else did we watch? We watched the season premiere of Lie to Me. That was pretty good. And I think we saw the season premiere of The Mentalist.
You think you saw it?
Well, it was not clear as to whether or not it was the season premiere.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell if it was the season premiere or just an episode from last season this year that we hadn't seen before.
Oh.
But
does he go completely mental?
He's kind of always completely mental. Okay. Really.
Well, then I could see how you wouldn't know which episode that was.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to keep them straight. But that's pretty much it for that kind of stuff. In miscellaneous TV news, I've got a couple of American Idol things here. One is that...
Actually, one of them you've talked about already.
I did?
Yes. Number 3.
What?
You talked about that last week.
That just happened yesterday.
You've talked about this.
There's no way.
I swear to you. Okay, well,
is it
bring
in
it
our...
up again.
No, I won't. But let's see our notes from last week. There's no way that's in there.
Oh, I'll look through the notes.
Okay, look through the notes. All right, well, then I'll skip that one. But anyway, Adam Lambert apparently has the number one album on Amazon without any promotion, and even though it's not out until November 24th. He's ahead of Barbra Streisand, Harry Connick Jr., The Beatles, Susan Boyle, Mariah Carey, Michael Bublé, Madonna, and Alice in Chains, who are all also in the top 10 on Amazon. That, to me, is amazing. That he's the number one selling album right now, and his album doesn't come out for almost 2 months. Crazy.
That is.
Crazy talk. Did you find it?
No, because it was, I don't think it was last week. It was like a couple weeks ago. I'm going to find it, though.
Okay. No, I don't think so. I think it's Milena Brush. Now, actually, why don't you tell this story, this next one?
Why? What is it?
He doesn't even read the notes. You know how long it takes me to get this stuff ready?
As you're reading them.
Yeah, I would like to be Milena surprised Brush by not having to spend so much time working on this. That would be a great surprise.
Milena Brush is suing E! Over her stint on Reality Hell, which I don't think I've ever spoken about on this podcast. Have I?
Yeah, you've talked about it.
Well, I know I talked to you about it. No, I don't think I've ever discussed it on the podcast.
I thought you did.
No, just to you.
Oh, okay.
But if you ever catch this on, watch it. Very funny.
Trainwreck?
No. Well.
But just funny.
But Milena Brush is suing E! Over her stint on Reality Hell, which is a show. Let me just give some background. Which is a show where people think they're being like they're on a reality show when in fact it's all actors and they're, you know, setting that person up and humiliating them and, you know, making them feel uncomfortable. But she says that she suffered intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligence, and false imprisonment, and that
she was
instructed to engage in humiliating activities and that actors proceeded to harass, embarrass, heckle, insult, and offend her.
Now, this is probably a stupid thing to say, but because she was the one person who was like the victim in one of the shows.
But let me say, I've seen like four episodes of this. It never goes so far.
Well, you don't know what wasn't shown either.
That's true.
But don't you think that they would have had everybody sign something that would completely, you know, negate any kind of lawsuit from happening?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that E! Would not have covered their bases in that respect.
But you know what? There's still you know, laws that will go against the contract if she was, in fact. I mean, if she was, in fact, humiliated and false imprisonment, no matter what she signed, isn't going to, like.
Right.
You can't sign a contract that says, oh, if I kill your, you know. If I kill your
brother. Sure, sure, sure. If anything in the contract is illegal, the entire contract is moot.
Right.
So, but I doubt they actually did anything illegal. Well, I don't know. Again, I haven't seen it, but it'll be interesting to see if anything happens with that. Now, I am going to mention this because I don't think I talked about this. I think what you're thinking of is when I said that Juno Joyner said that AI was fixed.
Ah.
See? You're wrong as usual. No, this is Chris Sly. Now, do you remember him? He was a little bit heavier guy with the curly hair.
Yeah.
Okay. He was really funny when he was on Idol a couple seasons ago.
The mop top.
Right. And he posted a rant on his blog, I guess, about how nobody will care about AI runners up and that they won't become famous or wealthy just because they're on the show, except for maybe Adam Lambert or Chris Allen, which was pretty, you know, forward thinking of him considering that then today the news came out that Adam Lambert has the number one album on Amazon.
I think this is Chris Sly just upset that he didn't get anywhere.
No. In fact, he said that he is one of the most successful non-winners of American Idol so far. And it's not because he just expected stuff to happen overnight, but because he's been working his butt off trying to surround himself with people who can actually help him and who will be realistic about what he's doing rather than just being sycophants.
Okay, I disagree that he's one of the most successful.
He's talking about sales numbers of something. There was something to back that up. Apparently. I'm not defending him. I'm just telling you what I read.
I think he's full of crap.
Okay, that's fine. Bring it on, Sly Boy.
Just want to be a negative Nancy.
Well, you got that part down. AMC's Prisoner miniseries will debut on Sunday, November 15th.
What does that mean?
They had not.
I don't know what that means.
Prisoner was a show about a guy who was a spy.
So it's aired already?
No. It was a show in the 60s.
Okay.
About a guy who was a spy.
So they're showing the same.
And who wakes
show?
Up one day on an island.
So it's like Lost.
Ugh. When I said I wanted you to contribute more.
I'm contributing.
No, it's one of those things.
So is this a remake or reimagining?
It's a remake. It's a remake.
Okay.
And probably a reimagining as well. Probably both.
Is it a redo?
It might be a redux. But anyway, it starts on November 15th.
Who's in it?
Actors mostly, I believe. Somebody famous. You'll be thrilled when you see who it is. I think it's Ian McKellen.
No, really?
I think it might be Ian McKellen.
Do you really think it's Ian McKellen?
It might be. While you're looking that up, I'm going to sing the theme song from Bubble Bobble.
It is Ian McKellen. How did you know that?
Because I read it at some point. I just couldn't remember when you first asked me.
Jamie Campbell Bauer.
So that, who's that? I don't know who that is.
He's in The Prisoner.
Oh. Well, other than that. But yeah, Ian McKellen, he's kind of a big name.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess he should have gone on IMDb rather than the official site. But
yeah. Stargate Universe starts on Friday at 9 or 8 Central. So get ready, Stargate fans. I'm very excited for that. I hope it's good. Do you have anything else to talk about? Oh, wait, there's one more. I can't forget this last one. Gordon Ramsay, you know, the Hell's Kitchen guy.
Yes.
The guy who likes to yell a lot. The guy who likes to swear a lot. The guy who has a hot head. Does he have red hair, by the way?
Who?
Gordon Ramsay. He's blonde,
blonde,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering if there was a correlation between the hair color and the temper. But what was that?
What?
I heard a weird noise coming from over there.
It wasn't me.
Okay. If you say so. Gordon Ramsay is working with a Canadian production company on a stop-motion animated show called Gordon Ramsay at Your Service. Do you want to see Gordon Ramsay in animated stop-motion?
I don't want to see Gordon Ramsay in real life.
So there you go. What about an animated stop-motion?
Maybe.
Okay. I've heard that he's not really like that in real life, though. Didn't you say that? Didn't you say that you read that somewhere on a previous show?
No, that's not me you're thinking of.
Okay, fine.
Someone else.
But that's all I have for...
Apparently James Caviezel, is that how you say
it?
Is also in The Prisoner.
Oh, he's pretty good.
He is good. Actually, I like him a lot. Yeah. Jamie Campbell Bauer.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's a girl. I thought it was a guy. She was in a couple of the Harry Potter movies.
Really? Playing who?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's in the one that they're filming now.
Way to ruin the entire storyline.
She's in the Twilight Saga. She was in Sweeney Todd.
Really?
Yeah.
Who'd she play in that?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
She played Anthony.
Isn't that a guy's name?
Wait, maybe this is a guy, and it just looks like a girl in this picture. Oh, you know what? It is a guy. He looks like a girl.
Okay.
It's Jodie Foster.
Really? Oh, was he the little guy who was in love with the girl who was kept locked up in Sweeney Todd? Does he look a little bit like...
Jodie Foster.
No, not Jodie Foster. Who was the kid from Witness?
Oh, he is the kid who was in love with the girl. They just showed the picture here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
I don't have anything else about TV, do you?
I don't.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back and we're going to talk about movies now. What did you see?
I saw the movie Extract.
Okay.
And let me bring up a little information here. Extract is the Mike Judge movie.
Right.
Starring Jason Bateman,
right.
Kristen Wiig, Mila Kunis.
Okay. Ooh.
And the ever so... awful Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck was in that?
Oh, and he's so annoying in it. He plays kind of like the stoner dude, like long hair.
The first three were great. You got your Jason Bateman, who's great.
Love
you got Kristen Wiig, who's great.
Well,
and you got
Mila
Kunis.
Let me tell you one of my biggest complaints
great.
About the movie. Overall, I liked the movie. I mean, I didn't like it. Let me just say, first off, I'm a huge fan of Office Space. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's
one of my
movie.
Favorite comedies.
It's a good movie.
So I expected this to be kind of light and funny like that. And
oh, no.
This
I don't think it is.
No. This is one of those movies that you would hate because it makes you feel uncomfortable through most of it.
Yeah, I don't know. From what you said, because the reason he's saying that is because we had a conversation the other day about that movie Election, which I liked but made me feel uncomfortable during the entire film.
Right.
But then from what you said about this one so far, I don't know if it's the same kind of thing. I don't know. I guess I would have to see it. Did you ever see The Shape of Things?
Who's in that?
Who's the guy who's in I Love You, Man? Paul
Jason
Rudd.
Siegel?
No, Paul Rudd. Rudd. And I want to say, what's her name? Rachel Weisz.
I did not see it. I see it right here, but I didn't.
That looks like one of those movies that I would not enjoy because it makes me uncomfortable.
Why? What's it about?
Well,
because it's a Neil LaBute film.
I didn't see it.
All of his films are uncomfortable.
Really?
Did you ever see The Company of Men?
No.
Very uncomfortable.
No.
But let me get back to Extract.
Yeah.
Extract, you know, it's a little more serious. It's a comedy, and there are parts of it that are very funny, but it's a little more serious and depressing.
Okay.
Just all the stuff that's happening to Jason Bateman's character. My biggest complaint about the movie, Kristen Wiig is completely wasted in this movie.
Oh, she's not funny?
Well, her character's not supposed to be. No, she's not. So why would you put her in a role that's not funny?
Yeah. I don't want to see her not be funny.
Right, exactly. And you keep waiting for her to do something funny, and she doesn't.
That's weird.
It's so aggravating.
Did she produce it or something, or write it or direct it?
I think they just wanted to put her name in. I don't know. I don't know why they would put her in there and not make her funny.
That's so odd.
I don't think she was I don't think she said a funny thing in it once.
There are plenty
There's one. Okay, there's one part that she says something kind of funny. But if you're going to use Kristen Wiig, use Kristen Wiig.
That's like, you know, you would never put Robert De Niro in a comedy. Oh, wait.
Mila Kunis is great in it again. Her character is despicable, but she's good in it again.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck is just so aggravating in it.
Yeah.
I just hate Ben Affleck.
I'm sorry.
But Jason Bateman's great in it.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I mean, it was funny, but there's some, you know, uncomfortable moments.
Yeah.
And I mean, I won't. You want me to tell you any of the storyline?
Whatever you want to share.
For example, Jason Bateman is kind of upset that him and his wife haven't been having sex, because once she puts her sweatpants on, she's done.
No dice.
You got to catch her before the sweatpants go on. So he tries to get home. He tries to get home every night early enough before she has put the sweatpants on, and he usually gets home just as she's tying them.
Right.
And then he knows he's not going to get any. So then Mila Kunis gets a job at his plant. He makes like food extracts, like flavor extracts.
Hence the name.
Right. So she kind of like hits on him, but it turns out it's because she's a con girl.
Right.
So, you know, she's just trying to get somewhere. And the reason she gets a job at the plant is because a guy just got injured at the plant, like really bad. He lost his testicles through injury at the plant.
Right.
And so she's trying to find out information on him because she wants to like con him, because obviously if he sued the plant, he would win, you know, millions of dollars.
Right.
So, so that's why she's even at the plant.
Sure.
But she's hitting on Jason Bateman, and he, you know, he, because he's not having any sex at home, he starts to like
succumbs
think about
her advances.
So Ben Affleck, who plays his buddy, gives him the advice, you know what, if your wife had an affair, then you wouldn't feel guilty about having an affair. So he hires a male prostitute
to solicit
act as a pool cleaner.
Okay.
And
seduce her.
Which he does, and then she starts having an affair with him.
Right.
So
now, does Jason Bateman's character know that his buddy has done this?
Oh, Jason Bateman is the one that does it. Ben Affleck talks him into doing it.
Oh, okay.
So he's the one who,
right.
And there's one thing that's really funny. So Jason Bateman realizes, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I letting him do this? So he tries to call the guy to call it off. He's like, you know, this is ridiculous. I can't believe I was talked into doing this.
Yeah.
So he calls the guy to call it off. But the kid was so excited about it that he went early and had already done it. And then he's like, you know, don't ever go to my house again, blah, blah, blah. And so then the guy ends up doing it again because, of course, you know, he's going, he's getting laid.
Right.
So when Jason Bateman finds out that he had done it a second time, the kid says to him, oh, you know what? You don't even have to pay me for the second time. And Jason Bateman's like, you know what? No, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you for the second time. I don't want to know that, you know, you did it for free. I want it, you know.
Right.
He wants to be the one in control.
Right.
So, I mean, that was one of the funny little things.
That is kind of funny.
But so much weird stuff happens that, like, it's just very uncomfortable for his character.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like.
But I liked it. It was funny. But what a waste of Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, that's too bad. What are you gonna do? I saw two movies actually in the last week. I went and saw The Final Destination. Actually, before I start talking about that, you just remind me of something when you mentioned the guy losing his testicles.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you think it was funny on last week's Top Chef when they were eating the food and somebody said that they couldn't eat what somebody made because it reminded them of bull testicles?
Uh-huh.
And Padma goes, I've actually had bull testicles. And Penn goes, I'll bet. And the way that he said it, and then Tom Colicchio starts laughing,
that was a really funny moment.
It was really great. But anyway, I went to see The Final Destination with one of my neighbors whose wife wouldn't go see it with him. And, you know, it was in 3D. Now, I should say that you complained about the fact that you had to pay $3 for your Real D glasses. We didn't have to pay any dollars for our Real D glasses.
Well, the kid did tell me, you know,
that it was because it was Disney.
That it was Disney.
Yeah. So anyway. So I have to say, pretty impressed with the 3D effects in the movie.
Yeah.
The movie was not good. You know, it was what you'd expect and less.
Right.
You know,
did you ever see any of the other Final
Destinations? I saw.
I liked the first one.
The
actually.
First one I thought was actually a pretty good horror movie.
Yeah.
The thing that made the first one a really good movie is that for anyone who's never seen these films, The idea was that there was this class taking
a trip
to Paris, right? Paris. Mm-hmm. And just before the plane takes off, one of the students has a vision of the horrible plane crash that's about to happen as their jet takes off. And so he freaks out and convinces some of his friends to go with him. And some of the other friends chase him to be like, dude, what are you doing? Get back on the plane. And the teacher goes out because she can't let them, you know, be off the plane without a chaperone. And so while they're sitting there fighting about it, the plane takes off and then crashes exactly the way he saw it.
Right.
So since they were supposed to be on the plane and they were supposed to have died, now death as a concept is coming for them. And they all end up, except for, I think, one person, right? Doesn't one person survive? I don't even remember now. But they pretty much all end up dying these horrible, grisly, very complicated deaths.
Right.
Because death is like trying to get them to set things back the way they were supposed to be, since they were all supposed to be dead.
Well, that's what makes those movies good.
And that's what made
ways that people die.
Not only that, but the way that I think death as a concept, without seeing anything visual, was actually made to appear to have a motivation to get them. You know, you really felt like there was this presence that was trying to get these people rather than just a collection of strange, odd things happening to them. And I think that's what made the first one in particular really a good movie. And there was no sense of that in this. It was just weird, random things happening to people. And in fact, one of them was so poorly done that one of the women, this time it takes place at a race car track, like a, you know, NASCAR type of thing. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that happens and all these people die at the racetrack.
Now, this is the fourth one, right?
I thought it was the third.
Because I want to say the second one happened on a highway. It was like an accident. And the third one was a roller coaster.
Oh.
Let me check.
Well, I didn't see that one then.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what happens was there's this woman. It is the fourth?
It is the fourth.
So there's this woman who was supposed to die. And her death scene comes up. And she's with her kids, her two sons, who are playing with rocks outside before she goes into the beauty salon to get her hair done. So there's all this stuff going on in the beauty salon where, like, the ceiling fan is loose and really creaky, and the little pump on the chair, you know, to make the chair go up and down in the beauty salon is broken, and it keeps, like, slamming down. And, you know, somebody spills some water, and there's all this stuff going. There's, like, an electrical short somewhere. So they set up this big elaborate thing, and, like, where, you know, something's going to come down and her head's going to get chopped off and somebody's going to poke her in the eye with scissors. You see where all this is going. And none of it ever happens, and she leaves the beauty salon, and there's a guy outside cutting the lawn, and he mows over one of the rocks that the kids were playing with, and it shoots over and hits her in the eye, and she dies.
That's kind of cool, though, because you expected it.
Well, no, but because you saw them playing with the rocks and the guy mowing the lawn, you always knew that something was going to happen with that.
Right.
But then, so then they fill it in with all this other stuff, and you think it's all going to come together, and all of it's ignored except for the rock, and so that part was kind of a miserable failure. Plus, there was this one part with a guy that he was at like a public pool, and he drops his lucky coin and it goes into the pool. So he goes down to get it, and there was something that happened with he accidentally had triggered the pool pump to like empty the pool. So now this suction thing is going on.
Uh-huh.
It was really stupid because he goes into the pool and immediately gets sucked down to the drain, even though there's like 50 other people who were already in the pool. And then apparently the suction was so great that it sucks his insides out of his butt. And that's how he dies.
That's not a good way to die.
No, it's a terrible way to die. But it was a really stupid thing because it was just so entirely implausible. Right. There were all these people in the pool already. Why didn't one of them get sucked down?
That's not who they wanted. They wanted him.
But see, that's what I mean. It was dumb. There was like no death motivation as such.
You know, this isn't like based on a true story.
Right? I understand. Okay. Really?
Not like your next movie.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, so I will just say the 3D effects were really good. The movie was terrible. But we got to see previews in 3D of Alice in Wonderland, A Christmas Carol, and Avatar, and all three looked really awesome in 3D. So I would definitely recommend. And, you know, that kind of 3D is great because it doesn't give you a headache or anything.
Right.
It's really cool. The other movie we saw was Surrogates, the Bruce Willis sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoyed it while we were watching it, but then afterwards I felt kind of empty about it, and Amy kind of hit it on the head when she said it just, like, was missing something. It just felt much smaller than it should have. I have to say there was some really cool stuff in the movie in terms of some of the stuff that happened with the surrogates and some of the plot twists that you that I didn't expect anyway.
Right.
But ultimately, it just, yeah, it just fell a little flat. I don't really know what more to say about it.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I was actually going to go see it the other day, and then when you told me, when you gave me that,
you know, it's still short review, it's still like enjoyable, but it's just, it's not a great film.
Yeah.
You know?
No one else has raved about it either, so.
I want to see a sci-fi movie that is as classic as, you know, whether you think they're good movies or bad movies, you know, RoboCop or Total Recall or, you know, Predator or Aliens or, you know, where are those movies?
Right.
I'm hoping that Avatar is going to be like that. So I guess we'll see. In other movie news, a bunch of idiotic Hollywood types are actually defending Roman Polanski by signing a petition demanding his release from arrest. Now, for those of you who don't know, he's a filmmaker who, didn't he like rape a 13-year-old basically?
Okay, here's the story. I have it already here.
Okay.
In 1977, he wanted to film a 13-year-old girl and got the mother's permission to do a photo shoot with this 13-year-old girl. And in the process of doing the photo shoot at his house, he had given her alcohol, Quaaludes, and then he had had oral sex with her.
I apologize for the non-family-friendly nature of this conversation, but that's okay.
And
there was sex.
There was sex.
Between him, who was an
sodomy
adult.
Sodomy included.
There. Did you have to go there?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, that shows the severity of his crime.
So, obviously, I had to go there. This is a heinous crime.
Yes.
By a sick, disgusting, perverted person. And he basically fled the country to avoid being arrested. And right. There's apparently no statute of limitations on this crime.
Well, the story I had heard from... some celebrity was talking about it, that the reason he left was because they were going to put him away for a lot longer than they put people away for even murder. And that's the reason he left. But I see nothing about it in, I'm on Wikipedia.
Okay.
See nothing about that. They said that they had, that he had undergone some like some psychological tests and stuff. And then he was going to be sentenced. So okay. I didn't see anything about the sentence they were going to give him because he left
right
before that had happened.
So anyway, so now he was on his way somewhere and he was arrested.
The Zurich Film Fest. Right. He was going to receive like a lifetime achievement award.
Okay, and so he was arrested and now they want to extradite him to the U.S. And all these people in Hollywood are saying that they should release him and it's not fair that he's being arrested.
Right. Well, part of the reason for that is because this girl, the girl involved, who's now in her 40s, you know, has come out and said that, you know, it happened a long time ago and I'm sure he didn't mean anything. I know.
Okay.
My point, like, I agree with
it's indefensible. It's an indefensible crime.
It is.
And whether or not she has forgiven him personally, which is the only way for her to live any kind of a healthy life for herself. And so I'm glad that she's done that. That aside, what he did was indefensible.
He needs to be punished for it. Right.
Right. And yet, here are some of the people who are saying that it's not fair that he's released and they want, or arrested and they want him released. Woody Allen, helping his cause.
Right.
Pedro Almodovar, Asia Argento, Monica Bellucci, Jonathan Demme, Terry Gilliam, John Landis, David Lynch, which I'm not surprised by that one, Martin Scorsese, Tilda Swinton, Darren Aronofsky, Michael Mann, and Tom Tykwer. What is wrong with these people?
Including Deborah Winger, who was the chairman of the Zurich Film Fest, where he was to receive the award.
Well, she's only doing it because she's pissed off that her schedule's ruined now, apparently. But, I mean, what is wrong with these people where they think that he should be let go and not punished for that crime?
I agree.
Absolutely ridiculous. I wonder if any of these people have kids that they're not married to now, Woody Allen. Because if they do, then... there's something seriously wrong with all of them, especially if they have daughters, but whatever.
By the way, I had said that this happened at his house. It didn't happen at his house. It happened at Jack Nicholson's house.
Oh, okay. I was going to do a Jack Nicholson impersonation, but I had nothing to say. I think you should lock the guy up and throw away the key. Okay. How was that? Was that any good?
Yeah, it was all right.
All right, thanks. David Cronenberg is remaking his remake of The Fly, which he remade in 1986 based on the 1958 classic. No word yet, though, as to who will be in it or how different it will be. Did you ever see that? His version?
Yeah.
That's pretty darn creepy.
Yeah.
I think he did some stuff in there that seriously out-creeped the original. When you see him as a human-sized fly...
I don't think it needs to be remade.
Well, how many things need to be remade?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Journey to the Center of the Earth, I think, needs to be remade as a big, epic, serious film.
Right.
But The Fly, I think his version, 1986, was so good that...
Yeah.
And I mean, it was truly creepy.
I agree.
It was a really creepy movie. Neve Campbell will return for Scream 4, so if you are worried that there won't be anyone in there perpetually on the verge of crying, your fears have been now allayed. Because she's back.
Here's my thing. Neve Campbell is what, like in her 30s now? Like,
I think she's 58.
No, she's in her 30s, I'm sure. But, you know, those movies work because they were teens. What are they, you know, they're not going to work with like a bunch of 30-somethings.
Now, isn't Courtney Cox and David Arquette, they're in all those movies, right?
Yeah.
Isn't
that where they met? Played adults in those movies.
Right. They were teachers?
No, she was, he was a cop and Courtney Cox was the reporter.
That's right, that's right. MGM is having money troubles and is looking for $20 million in short-term cash to avoid losing franchise films like The Hobbit and its sequel and the next Bond movie. Gee, I wonder if anyone's going to pony up $20 million to secure The Hobbit and James Bond.
Right.
Like, why is this even news? Wouldn't you think that deal would be secured in about 5 minutes?
Right.
You know how many people have $20 million lying around?
Not me.
No, not me, but I don't mean who hosts this podcast. I just mean in general. Come on. For The Hobbit and James Bond? I think they're not going to have any trouble finding that financing. And meanwhile, the rights to the Terminator franchise may be up for auction to keep Halcyon Holdings, who produced Terminator Salvation, solvent. They bought the rights in 2007 for $25 million, and things didn't go so well for them with the whole Terminator Salvation.
They didn't.
Although, you know, I have to wonder if Avatar ends up being really good, I wonder if that'll help them in terms of Terminator Salvation sales on video.
Because of Sam Worthington?
Because of Sam Worthington.
I don't think it's enough.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never gone back and bought a movie that stars somebody who you discovered in another movie?
No.
I think a lot of people do that. You know, people tend to go a little crazy with their fandom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't have this in the list, but there's an auction for charity right now, and the winner of the, I'm sorry, I don't have any details on it, but the winner of the auction will get to have dinner with Christopher Nolan, who, you know, produced the Batman movies. So if you're a huge Batman fan.
So where do I go for that?
I don't know. Look it up. I have no details. I don't have anything else for movies, do you?
No.
What? What were you going to say?
Nothing.
What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, you just throw that out there, and I have nowhere to go. Where
so
do I
go?
So just
go look it up. The Goog. Use the Goog to your advantage in this instance. You're going to use the Bing.
No, use the Goog.
No, use the Bing. I want to see what happens.
I don't. It's on Goog right now.
Okay. All right, fine. All right.
I don't think I have the Bing.
Yeah, you don't have the Bing on your computer?
I don't have the Bing.
Yeah, Tony's making a reference to a joke about people who are confused between the differences between websites and desktop applications, and who ask questions like, does she have the Google on her computer? Which, of course, makes those of us who do computer-related stuff for a living cringe,
yes,
especially if they're related to us. But anyway, that's all I've got for movies, so we will be back in a minute to talk about everything else. All right, so we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The mush mush.
There you go. That's a good one for Mike. Mike should be happy now. Mike, by the way, sent me an instant message through Facebook yesterday asking why whenever he tries to sync his podcasts on his iPhone, his iTunes syncs his entire iPhone, and it takes forever. Have you ever had that happen? I've never had that happen.
He just wants
to sync his podcasts so that he gets his new podcasts. But whenever he tries to do that, it resyncs his whole phone.
Well, I think what he's saying is goes through the whole like backing up and all that.
Yeah, backing up and all that.
Yeah.
Does yours do that too?
Yeah. Whenever you put your phone on.
No. I'm assuming it was already connected. And he just wanted to get the latest versions of all that stuff.
No, but if he plugs the phone in, it's going to do all that stuff. But, you know, you can press the stop button from it backing up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could shorten it by doing that.
All right.
Why doesn't
he just... You know what, Mike? The whole thing is so flaky.
Download it to your phone.
Just download it
from the Wi-Fi area.
iTunes, iPhone, everything is so terrible. We're going to rant a lot about the iPhone today.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of problems going on. First of all...
But why doesn't he just find the podcast from the iTunes on his phone? then he doesn't have to go to the computer. Well, I'm telling him, Mike.
That's his personal preference.
Just find it on the phone.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know what that means. You mean just browse
iTunes
to
iTunes on
yeah,
the phone?
Okay, right.
Type in pause.com and then download it
to
your
phone.
Yeah, and
you have to get it, but you have to be Wi-Fi'd. You can't do it while you're on 3G.
Right.
Because it won't let you download any podcast
that
are over
to a Starbucks and do it.
10 megabytes.
Even if you don't have Wi-Fi in your house, go to a Starbucks.
Is it free Wi-Fi at all Starbucks?
For AT&T customers.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, for the iPhone.
Yeah.
If it's not unlocked.
It's, you know, the iPhone is so bad. I'm going to skip around on our list here because there are a few things that I need to talk about. I yesterday had to run out to Best Buy for something. And when I left to go there, I decided to call home to talk to my wife, the lovely and talented Amy. I had to dial home 43 times before it connected. 43 flipping times. Do you know how high my blood pressure was by the 43rd dial? I thought there was something wrong with my phone. And then all of a sudden it just connects.
So when you say you had to do it 43 times, what
was pressed,
it doing?
I went to my, you know, my favorites.
Uh-huh.
I pressed home and it said, you know, calling home. And then there was nothing. Silence. 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 I sat in my car for 20 minutes trying to call home.
I don't know.
And then finally it just connects.
How many bars did you have?
On the 5.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's also annoying. Now, on that same note, some guy took his phone to the Apple store in Times Square or wherever in Manhattan because he thought something was wrong with it because he was dropping a lot of calls.
Uh-huh.
And they looked at his records and found out that he was dropping 20% of his calls. And they said, sorry, there's nothing we can do because the average is 30%.
In New York.
In New York.
Right.
I'm sure it's not that much lower here.
No, but that's what they had said.
Yeah, but still, that's terrible. That's almost a third of all calls.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry. AT&T needs to give everybody a portion of their money back. They can't. They're not delivering on the services that we're paying for.
Right.
And
I
it's
agree.
The most expensive phone plan there is, pretty much. Class action lawsuit. Who wants to take it up? Who wants in? Let us know. Send email. Podcast@pause.com. You still here, Tony?
Yeah. I'm
all
still
right.
Here.
Now, why don't you talk about your iPhone troubles?
No, I'm going to talk about it later.
Okay. Sorry. Thermaltake's gorgeous level 10 computer case has its own website now at ttlevel10.com. I don't know if you remember this. We covered it on pause.com.
Yeah, I actually saw it on Gizmodo the other day.
Yeah, pretty cool. Unfortunately, it's $700.
That's ridiculous.
You can get an entire computer for $300. So that's stupid. Microsoft has unveiled a dual-screen tablet computer called Courier, born out of a hypothetical question that was, how would you design OneNote if you were doing so for the tablet form factor from the ground up? And it's going to be an actual product with a mid-2010 delivery. It's basically like, it opens like a book, and each half is a touchscreen, a multi-touch screen. And from the videos that you can find if you go online, it looks really, really cool.
It looks really cool.
It looks amazing. Yeah. It looks like it's going to set a whole new, you know, market definition, basically.
Right.
And let's just hope it works. And it's actually going to be made by Microsoft like the Zune. It's not going to be like a Windows Mobile thing that other companies will make devices for. This is actually going to be a Microsoft product. And going back to Apple, they're under fire again for pushing unwanted software that's new and pretending it's an important update that people need. And they're doing this via their Apple software update utility. Did you see that where they pushed this iPhone configuration utility?
No.
Which has, you didn't get that? Oh, I got that a couple weeks, within the last 2 weeks sometime, where when you connect your iPhone to your computer and, you know, the Apple update thing comes up,
right.
Or actually before that, the Apple update thing comes up and says this iPhone configuration utility, you know, needs to be updated. And really it's an enterprise product that nobody has any use for because nobody uses the iPhone in the enterprise.
Right.
It's for creating like templates for setting up iPhones for your corporate users. Why does the average Joe need that on their computer? It's total bull caca. The best thing to do is uninstall the Apple software updater because you absolutely do not need it.
No.
iTunes will update itself. The iPhone will update itself.
Right.
You don't need that running and it just slows down your computer and it's buggy and it's horrible. And shame on Apple.
You feel better now?
A little bit. Honda has previewed the EVN concept, and Subaru has previewed their hybrid tourer concept in advance of next month's Tokyo Motor Show. I'm going to post pictures of both of those on pause.com. Look up Honda EV-N, the way it is
here
in the list.
Oh, I'm right in the middle of something.
I don't care. Look this up. It is seriously one of the cutest retro-looking little cars, I guarantee, that you've ever seen.
What am I looking up?
Honda?
Yeah.
EV-N. It's adorable.
Ooh.
Do you think it's adorable?
No, I don't.
Oh, I think it's really cool looking. Microsoft Security Essentials, which is their new free antivirus, is actually available now.
It's like an ugly Mini Cooper.
No, it's not at all like that. It's a very retro Japanese design, and it's really cool. Keep in mind, Tony's the guy who doesn't know anything about cars.
I know.
So he doesn't know what he's talking about. Microsoft Security Essentials.
That thing's going to tip over.
No,
look how small the wheels are.
Their new free antivirus software is now available. So if you're one of the people who uses OneCare and you're waiting for their new free antivirus to come out, it's out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can go to Microsoft.com/security-. Oh, shoot. Is it security-essentials or security_essentials? I can't remember. It's one of the two. It's probably on their homepage, too, I would guess. But it's new free antivirus, but it doesn't do all of the other things that OneCare does. It doesn't do backup and all that stuff. It's just antivirus and anti-malware, which is probably okay for most people.
I had the backup turned off anyway.
You did? Yeah. You know, backup your computer?
I do it. Yeah, but I do it myself.
Oh. You just copy files or do you have a different program?
I just copy files.
Oh, okay. Apple is also rumored to have new thinner iMacs rolling off the assembly lines as we speak with mystery features and possibly even Blu-ray. HP is coming out with a 13.3-inch multi-touch notebook computer featuring Windows 7 that is called the DV3 series, and it looks pretty spiffy. China claims they've completed the world's highest resolution 3D map of the moon, which is pretty cool because then you should be able to go on there and see all the aliens that are watching us from the moon.
By the way, that's security_essentials.
Yeah, so there you go. Samsung's AMOLED 12M is a camera phone that shoots 12 megapixel photos and has a 3x optical zoom in a phone. It actually looks more like a camera than it does a phone.
Yes.
But that's some pretty serious photography in a phone. LG is buying back 5 of its chocolate phones, paying $10,000 for each one. They ran an ad with serial numbers that appeared in newspaper ads in 12 countries, and they didn't mention why they're doing it. And the ad is very serious. It doesn't seem jokey or hokey or anything.
I want to know why.
Yeah, we all want to know why. But and in the ad, it even goes over this like very elaborate authentication process, and there's language in there about how they hope that people are going to cooperate with, you know, the people who are doing the verification and all this stuff. So it's very secretive and mysterious.
I would hold out for like $50,000.
Okay. Did you check your serial numbers on your LG chocolate phone?
No.
That's too bad. There are more rumors about the Apple tablet, this time claiming that January 19th is the actual release date. AT&T, makers of the most terrible, awful cell phone service in the United States, will get the Garmin Nuvi phone G60 on October 4th, and you'll be able to pick it up for $299 if you are looking forward to having a phone with the worst phone service in the entire United States. Honda has unveiled their U3X mobility device. Think of it as a unicycle Segway. It's like a little thing you sit on top of that can go forward, backward, and sideways just from you kind of using your body language to adjust it. It's pretty wild.
What if you have like a tick?
If you got the Tourette's, I would stay far away from this bad boy. And the thing that they're saying that's unique about it is, unlike the Segway, which puts you way above eye level of most people, or other devices like a Rascal scooter, which puts you way below, this leaves you at eye level with most people. So I don't know. I don't know how that's a benefit. Isn't it better to be taller than everyone? Yeah. I would think. Plus, you could just run people over. I don't see how being at their level helps you. I guess it's just so that you don't look like a freak. Gizmodo snagged pics of what are allegedly two cell phones to be made by Microsoft called the Turtle and the Pure, both of which would be made, actually manufactured by Sharp, but would be Microsoft-branded phones. Three different probes have sent back unambiguous evidence of water on the moon, which is excellent news in terms of colonization and stuff like that. Colonization from the standpoint of building stuff there to do things like mining hydrogen, which we need to do for better fuel stuff on this here planet of Earth, as well as being a jumping off point to get to places like Mars, which is a lot easier to do from the moon than it is from here because the gravity is so much lower. Some manufacturers will start selling Windows 7 powered computers as early as October 13th. The way the licensing agreement works between Microsoft and manufacturers is that they actually get it about 10 days ahead of launch so that they can put it on systems. But for the smaller manufacturers, there's nothing preventing them from actually doing it and then starting to sell those the very next day. So while you can't go and get a retail copy of Windows 7, you can actually get a computer running Windows 7 as early as...
Are they going to run one of those specials again before they release it?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't take part in that.
I know, me too. I'm really upset about it because it was cheap. It was like $50, right?
Right.
I hope they do it again. Everyone says that they're going to do it again. And some people seem to have insider information on that. Yeah. So we'll see. Land Rover has confirmed that the LRX concept will in fact become a production model, which is really cool because it's very spiffy looking. Chipmaker Phoenix has a new laptop BIOS. This is very cool. That can boot Windows 7 in 10 seconds. And I don't mean from sleep. I mean from off. And it does this because normally the BIOS on a computer turns on all the different devices one at a time. Uh-huh. And this one turns them all on at the same time. So a 10-second start time is awesome.
Yeah.
That's even faster than the Mac. And the Mac's pretty fast. It's starting up.
Right.
Panasonic says they're still on track to release a 50-inch 1080p 3D plasma TV next year. But what are you going to do with it? It's not like there's any 3D content you can watch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they need to get it out next year.
I don't know.
Could you? I wonder if you could release a Blu-ray with the 3D version of a movie that's been out in theaters and just include glasses with it, and if you're watching it on one of those TVs, if it would work. Like, or is it like...
I don't know. I don't understand how it works at all.
Or is it no glasses? It just like 3D? Because that would be cool.
How would it do that?
Ask Panasonic. What am I, a wizard?
No.
No.
You're not.
I'm not a wizard. All right. I'm going to wake Tony up now. We're going to move on to our weekly segment.
No, you know what my issue is right now and why I look so lost is I've completely forgotten my best entertainment moment of the week. So I'm trying to think of it.
I haven't even thought of either.
No,
of
I mean,
mine
I
yet.
Have one. I know. I had one, but I've forgotten what it is.
Okay.
I remember what it is.
Okay.
Got it.
So it is that time. Now that Tony's
prepared
remembered.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. For our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week, Tony, as always, please start with your worst entertainment moment of the week.
This is another Apple rant.
Oh.
This one's at Apple, not at AT&T.
Okay.
So this morning, before I left to come out here, I downloaded a podcast through the phone. Not, you know, I didn't download it from the computer.
None of this crazy iTunes crap.
Just through the phone. Then I get down to my car and I go to look for it, and it's the only podcast that I have on my phone. And I'm like, oh, that's odd.
So it's like you got a new podcast, but all your old ones were gone.
Right. So then, while I was here, I wanted to play some of my music, and I noticed that all of my music, except for one Christmas song, is completely off my phone. Now, luckily, I had...
Do you think this could be Santa telling you you've been a bad boy and look out?
Perhaps. Or it's Harry Connick Jr. telling me to buy his new album,
because
that's who was singing the Christmas song.
Oh.
But,
maybe this is some kind of weird ploy by Adam Lambert. You got the Adam Lambert virus.
What what does that have to do with Harry Connick Jr.?
Well, because he's ahead of him on the Amazon music charts now. So.
So I had to sync the phone to my computer, which luckily I had with me today because we were doing the podcast. But why would
all
it
your
that?
Music was gone, right? Now, well, it was, I mean, it was actually still on
it was
there.
On
it
the
was
phone.
Just the index was probably right. Corrupted. And remember, I used to talk about that a lot after I first got the iPhone, how my iTunes index would get corrupted, like, almost every time I'd sync it.
Well,
what are they
was
doing?
Wrong when I pressed the iPod button, and it took a good, I would say almost minute for anything to show up. Like it's like it was loading, but.
But it doesn't make any sense. What would they possibly have been doing to that iTunes index or whatever it's called that it would corrupt that easily?
Right. I don't know.
It's just insane. I have to think of a worst entertainment moment.
I'm glad you've chosen now to think about it.
Hey, at least I was paying attention in the last segment, unlike some people here. I'm going to say for my worst entertainment moment, I'm going to have to go back to The Final Destination because it was just so, it was so not as cool as the first movie. And, you know, being in 3D and everything, and even the second one wasn't too bad. But I didn't see the third one, which you said, what, took place in an amusement park?
Yeah, roller coaster was how people died.
Yeah. You marry this movie with this cool technology, you really kind of want to step up your game, or at least that's what you're hoping going to see it.
Or you know you've made a crappy movie and you add that on to it.
Because, you know, the thing is with the whole...
On its own, it probably wouldn't have...
Oh, my God. It would have been unwatchable.
Right.
Actually, I might include our lunch yesterday as my... or was that yesterday? Monday, as my worst entertainment moment of the week. Yeah.
Well, no, it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, but it was also pretty bad. We went to this new restaurant, and I'm not going to name it because I'm not like that. Tony is like that, so he may mention it. But no, we don't need to mention it. A new restaurant opened up nearby. We went there for lunch. We couldn't drink anything they served us because everything tasted like a combination of chemicals and soap. And it wasn't just us. The people at the table next to us were complaining, and they actually used the same language.
Right.
So it tastes like chemicals and soap. It was disgusting. And since I expense meals as entertainment, that counts. So there you go.
I'm glad you could find a workaround there.
There you go.
I like that.
What about your best?
My best is also Apple related.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. Well,
I find that very difficult to believe.
It's iPhone related. It has nothing to do with Apple.
Okay.
So I've been kind of looking over all the GPS, you know, turn-by-turn navigation apps. And, you know, they're expensive. You either pay a monthly charge, like, you know, $10 a month, or you hunker down the $99 for, like, who is it, TomTom?
Yeah, one of those.
You know,
TomTom, Garmin.
But then you hear about the TomToms coming out with the car kit as well, which has, you know, the suction cup that goes onto the windshield with the charger on it. They're charging $120 just for that. Plus, you got to pay the $99.
What?
It's $220 for the whole thing together.
Why don't you just go buy a TomTom GPS then?
Well, that's people's argument. So while I'm reading over all this stuff. It's so stupid. While I'm reading over all this, I see a couple reviews for this turn-by-turn navigation app called Motion X GPS Drive, where people are saying it's as good, if not better, than any of them. It's $3. It's $2.99. So I downloaded it, and I checked it out. It's really cool. It has voice turn-by-turn, and I assume all the features that most GPS have.
Right.
And now, the other day when I was coming here, I used it, and I do have a couple complaints. It told me – now, I told it to calculate the shortest route.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the fastest route.
Okay.
So it wasn't the route I normally take here. It told me to get off at an exit before the one I normally take.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it had calculated traffic and thought that would have been faster for me to do. But, I mean
– I don't think so, because I think you need a special traffic thingy. There's some radio wave, you know, radio frequency that broadcasts traffic data, and that's how those GPS things get.
Well, I don't know if you know this. Just on the Google Map thing on here, like when I leave here every time I'm here, if I just press that and it, you know, I show the route between here and my house, it shows me the traffic on the Google Maps.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's coming from Google, though.
I'm saying, I mean, if it's that easy that it's on the one that's on the phone, why wouldn't a GPS app find that same information?
Because the data's not on the phone. The app just pulls Google Maps, doesn't it? All the Google Maps data is at Google. It's not on your phone. So what I'm saying is, if Google has that data as part of their data that the phone is pulling, then you wouldn't need the special radio to get traffic stuff. Because Google might have their own source for that, is what I'm saying.
Well, couldn't this pull that same information?
Well, they're only making $3 a copy. I doubt they have the same resources as Google.
Well, anyway, it didn't give me the route. But
you're right, it could. It could.
And you know, once I didn't get off at the exit, it you know,
adjusted itself.
And, yeah. You know, to that. Another thing I didn't like.
It didn't give you a hard time about it.
No.
Because my GPS gets mad at
does
me.
It really, come on.
It's like it? You know, it's like at the next light, turn left, and then if you don't, it's like. I said turn left.
Really?
Back.
It really
no, it doesn't. But wouldn't that be kind of funny?
I thought you were serious.
I'm going to lock your doors now and drive you into a lake. I am the GPS. Please follow my directions. Haven't you ever heard those stories about people who like follow their GPS and end up in a lake? Yeah. You got to be all kinds of stupid.
Well, another thing that I guess it just takes some getting used to. I was testing it out. I know how to get here, so I didn't need to use it. But you know, I had the voice turned on, which, by the way, the voice is free for the first 30 days, but then you got to pay $3 a month for it, which still isn't the $10.
That's not bad.
No. Or you could pay.
Or you could just not have the voice.
Right. But you could also pay $24 for the entire year. So.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah.
But that's only $2 a month.
While you're running the app, you can control your music, like the iPod. There's controls in there.
That's
so that's nice as well. But I was listening to the iPod, but then when the voice comes on, it's louder than what I was listening to. So it's a little
jarring.
And rather than talking over the music, which is what I would have preferred, it stops the music.
Yeah.
And then speaks louder and then goes back to the music. So, I mean, those are minor complaints for $3.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty
minor. Anyone who wants to check it out, I mean, $2.99 and
cool.
I've enjoyed it.
My best entertainment moment of the week is I'm going to have to say Modern Family, because I almost never watch new comedies because they're almost never funny.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting it to be great, and I really, really enjoyed it. And now I'm really looking forward to, you know, the next episode of it. So I don't really have to say anything else about it. We talked about it enough. Right. But check
it out.
Do you
feel like machines are taking over?
Yeah, my phone is ringing. There's something vibrating over there. My fax machine just went off, and I don't think anybody actually sent me a real fax. I can't even see. It's just like spewing paper out now. I don't know what's going on.
So if we're not here next week, we've been attacked
by machines. It's because my office equipment has gone berserk and killed us dead. I really have no idea what's happening around here right now. It's crazy.
I think we got to get out of here. We're going to have to end this.
I think so. And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye.